pray that we could know you, Lord, just not in an intellectual way, but Lord, in a way that transforms and challenges our life. And Lord, that in knowing you, that we would have that peace, regardless of the situations that we face, regardless of the persecution, the tribulations, the trials that we endure. Father, that we would always know that you are there. Pastor John opened up today, Father, and said that, you know, imagine Christ being here. We don't have to imagine. We know he is here in spirit. Wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there he is.
Thank you.
So, Father, we pray right now for Pastor John as he brings forth your word. And, Lord, may it stir us on. May we continually recognize that you're there, and whatever comes our way, we can handle it with you at our side. Father, let your anointing be upon him. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you speak through him into our hearts, and we're ready to walk it out. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Over the past couple months, as Pastor Don just mentioned, we've been talking about getting to know God. And there's nothing that could be more important for us than knowing our Creator, our Father, God. Knowing who God is, what he's like, what he expects from us, and getting to know him personally is the most important thing we will ever do in our life. Absolutely. It's the most important thing we'll ever do in our life. God thought it was so important that he was willing to sacrifice the life of his son so that we could get to know him. Without Jesus having gone to the cross, we would be without hope and without God in this world, like it tells us in Ephesians 2:12. But fortunately for us, God did make it possible for us to draw close to him, to come closer, so that we could get to know him. And he says in Ephesians 2:13, "Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." God did that so we could get to know him, so that we would be able to spend eternity with him. Jesus prayed just before he went to the cross, and he prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God." That we might know God. The Apostle Paul prays for us and for all believers in Ephesians 1:17. And he says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." That's what he was concerned about, that we would know God. He spent his whole life traveling, going around, but the rest of his life after he knew Jesus and after he met God and began to know what was going on and understood, and then he was out and spreading the gospel everywhere that he could so that people would know God. Jesus himself keeps knocking on our door, looking to build a relationship with us. Revelation 3:20, it says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." God wants us to realize that there is nothing more important than getting to know him. He alone is the answer to that hunger that's inside of us. You know, the longing that's inside of us that so often we try to fill with so many different things. The more we know God, the more we know about him, then the life that we have will become more fulfilled. It will just be a greater life, more filled with hope and with joy and peace, and it will be more fruitful and more blessed because of us knowing God. Today I want to talk about peace. By knowing God, we can find a peace that can't be found in any other place, through any other thing, or in any other way. There's a peace that could only come by knowing God. We know that we live in a fast-paced, hectic life, world. It seems like the things that we have to do, the list of things we have to do, just keeps on growing longer and longer and longer, day by day. Everywhere we turn, we're confronted with a multitude of problems. There's always something. Every time we turn on the news, we hear about another crisis. I remember when I was a kid growing up, we didn't have crises all the times. It seems like now we have a new crisis every week. Every time there's weather, it's a crisis. But there are things going on out there. There's no doubt about that. There's terrorists, there's predators, there's financial meltdowns, there's crumbling morals, there's out-of-control government and spending and wars and rumors of wars and disease and pestilence and, you know, there's deadlines and it seems like the sky is always falling, as Chicken Little used to say. Of course, we all have our own personal problems on top of that. Sometimes we're troubled by guilt, by a conscience that just won't let things go because of mistakes we made in the past or things we did or even didn't do. And then we also worry about the future. How's it going to be? Are we going to live long enough? Are we going to get sick? Are we going to have enough money? What's going to happen to our children? What's going to happen to our parents? What's going to happen to us? All these things, we start getting anxious. It seems like someone or something is always trying to keep us on the edge. Or even worse, getting us to go over the edge and lose it. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way at all. It really doesn't. In fact, it wasn't always that way. Long, long ago, in a garden far away, in the Garden of Eden, which was a real place, by the way, we, the human race, had it made. Friendly animals, abundant food, no pesticides. Just think of this, Mark, all organic. Good weather, no wars, no enemies, no taxes, no politics, no sin. The sun was always shining, and literally, because it had never yet rained even. The earth was watered from the ground up. Best of all, Adam and Eve, who were in that garden, got to walk through the garden in the cool of the day, it tells us, with God. They got to know Him. Spend time with Him, with their Father, the Creator. Friends with God, perfectly at peace with Him, with the world around them, and in themselves. What a great place to be. What a glorious time to be alive in a place like that. Perfect peace. No anxious thoughts, no worries, no fear, just peace. But then something disastrous happened. They were taken in by the lies and the deceptions of Satan. They disobeyed God. They betrayed His trust. And because of that, because of their sin, they were banished from the Garden of Eden. And that life of ease, that life of peace, was never the same. All of a sudden, we were at war with God. Enemies because of sin, because of our rejection of His truth and acceptance of the devil's lies. I say our because we're in it with him. It's the whole human race. And now there's nothing but trouble. What a terrible story. What a terrible story. But thank God it doesn't end there. Our loving Father took it upon Himself to provide a way to bridge that gap, that chasm, and so that we could reach across and once again meet God. Where He could restore to us our relationship with Him and the peace that comes from being one with Him. The peace that we all so desperately need, and we do. You need to know that God's peace is for you. God doesn't want you anxious. In fact, we're told to be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Do not worry. He doesn't want any one of us to live a life of turmoil, of desperation, of anxiety, fear. He doesn't want us to have to live like that. He wants us to live in His peace. So we need to understand the difference between two types of peace. There's a world type of peace, a worldly peace, and there's the peace of God. Now, worldly peace, this world's peace, it's a false peace. It's a very limited type of peace. It's a facade of smoothness with nothing but turbulence and trouble running underneath. I was picturing it like if you had a fast-moving stream or a river and you just laid a piece of carpet over it or something like that so you couldn't quite see it, but you never knew if you walked on it when it was going to go crashing right through and you were going to be right in the middle of a disaster again. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. How many times have we heard leaders of so many different nations proclaiming peace, peace, right before they attack? Worldly peace is full of compromise. It's not based on a foundation of truth. It's just a temporary smoothing over to settle an issue for now. Some people try to buy peace for themselves by giving money, giving their time, putting something in like that, and convincing themselves and their conscience that they've done good, they've done enough good now, and all is well because I did something good. I gave enough. But what good is it if they refuse to obey God? 1 Samuel 15:22 tells us that it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Sacrifice can be nice. Those sacrifices might very well be helpful to the others. They might honestly be a good thing, but those sacrifices aren't what make us right with God. I could be an evil man and be sacrificing all day long, and that sacrifice is not going to get me to heaven. That's the world's view of peace, though, and it's a peace that's not good enough for us. It's not good enough for what God wants for us. We have something that is so much better, so much more real, and it's called the peace of God. And this kind of peace is totally different. In fact, Philippians 4:7 tells us that it's beyond our understanding. We can't even totally comprehend it. It's just so amazing, this peace. It's not the peace of the world, and that's the kind of peace we immediately think of when we think of peace. In fact, this kind of peace that I'm talking about could never be accomplished in the natural world because it's built on perfection. It's built on truth. It has a solid foundation. It involves the development and the perfection of every conceivable moral virtue. Now think about that. Everything that you think about that's good, every virtue, every good thing, love, peace, justice, mercy, kindness, holiness, gentleness, self-control, joy, purity, patience, truth, compassion, faithfulness, on and on and on. All these good things, all these wonderful virtues, all these good moral things. If you took every one of those possible virtues to the absolute ultimate level of perfection, every one of those traits working smoothly, flawlessly, seamlessly together in conjunction with one another, none of them in any possible way hindering another one. Instead, all of them supporting each other to absolute perfection, to attain and to work absolute perfection. What I've just described is the character of God. Perfection. Perfection. Absolute, complete, total, ultimate perfection. No chance of getting any better. Every good thing to the max, right at the top of the line. He can't get better because he is perfection. And that's where you find peace. He is the only one who can be at total peace. Why? Because he is the only one. God is the only one who doesn't have to change in any way. You see, change always causes turmoil. Change always involves uprooting. It involves disruption. Sometimes even war. But not peace. Peace is perfection. A God never has to change because God and God alone is perfect. You don't mess with perfection. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not evolving, he's not growing, he's not getting better. He's already perfect. Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. Now, peace does not mean lack of movement. It doesn't mean that God never does anything, because God does a lot. He's not still. He is like the conductor of an orchestra. And he's like that directing. He's directing all things to work and flow according to his ultimate purpose and plan. Like the perfect performance of a perfectly beautiful piece of music. And we're sort of like the musicians that he's using, helping the purposes and the plans of God to come along, to be played out in whatever situation God has put us in. At least that's where we want to be if we want to experience the peace of God in our life. That's how it happens when we're flowing in the purpose of God. When we know God enough to know what he's calling us to do, when we get into his realm, into his, you know, sphere, and we begin to flow as he would have us flow, we enter into his peace. A lot of it comes from faith. Pastor Don mentioned when they were in the boat, they were scared to death because they thought the boat was going to capsize, that they were all going to drown, and Jesus was sleeping. They wake him up and he says, you have little faith. And he tells the wind and the seas to be at peace. Just quiet down. And immediately, the elements, the earth, the wind, the seas, are at peace. Just like that. Because God controls all. Because he is perfect peace. So this peace flows from faith. Do we believe that God is working all things in our life to the good? Do we believe that he's working everything that we're going through to the good because we love him and are called according to his purpose? Do we actually believe that? Or is it just a nice scripture? It's hard to believe that when something's going bad. It's nice to believe it when things are going good. But we particularly need to understand and believe that scripture when things are going what seems to be, to us, bad. Because that's when we need to have the faith, like when they were in that boat and it wasn't going good for them. And that's when we need to have the faith to believe that God's going to work this out according to his purpose. It doesn't matter how it looks. It doesn't matter if the sea is crashing. It doesn't matter if the waves are pounding. What matters is, do we trust God? Do we believe that He really, honestly, and truly will do the best for us? Remember last week we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego getting thrown into the furnace. Now I guarantee you when they were standing there and those guards came over and began to lift them and get ready to throw them in the furnace, they probably looked at each other and said, "This doesn't look good." But they had already told the king, "You can do what you want." Because they had a trust in God. Our God is able to save us, but even if He doesn't, we will not bow down to your golden image. And that's the kind of an attitude we need to have. It's in the midst of the worst situations, the worst looking situations, that we are called upon to put the most trust in God. When this happens, we experience a miracle. The peace of God comes over us. It's a peace then that passes all understanding. You know, I'll share just a little bit about myself. This past June, I found out I had a serious case of prostate cancer. According to my doctor and according to the biopsies, I had a lot of cancer in there, and it very well may have escaped from my prostate and gone into other organs. It could have. They didn't know. It was right on the border of either way. So he recommended that I get something done as soon as possible. But God had already prepared my heart for this. Even before he told me, the doctor did, I was almost positive that it was there. But I honestly believed that I was going to be okay. I was sure, in fact, that I was going to be okay. So sure, in fact, that I was at peace. And everything did turn out okay. And it turned out instead of being a time of fear and anxiety and worry, it turned into an amazing adventure. It really was. I was like almost on cloud. I was just like, "Yeah, come on, let's go, let's do this thing." You know, it was weird. I shouldn't have been there in the normal world, but in God's world, it was a totally different thing. Now, instead of looking back at a time of fear, I'm able to look back and see how God used that for His glory. And through it all, I was able to be at peace, except when I was trying to sleep in the hospital. Why was that possible? Why could I be at peace in the midst of what could have potentially been a death sentence? Why? Because I know God, and I trust His character. I trust who He is, and I believed that He had revealed to me already that I was going to be fine, and so I was at peace. I believed that. I had no doubt of that. I'd gotten prayer, I'd had words, I knew God had confirmed it in my heart that everything was going to be fine. I just had to use that doctor that God had provided for me, let him do his work, and God was going to take care of the rest. I was more worried about how to tell other people. Ultimately, the whole experience helped me to know God in an even deeper way and to experience His peace in an even deeper way. And then looking back, it gives you an even greater appreciation for Him, His faithfulness, and helps us to have even more peace. And that's exactly how it should work. the more we go through with God at our side, the more we get to know Him then and trust Him and be at peace. Even on our last day, when we close our eyes for the final time, and we're all going to be there, we go to sleep knowing and trusting God. And a split second later, we wake up in His presence. It'll be great. I'm looking forward to that day. I really am. Not that I'm rushing to leave, but I'm certainly looking forward to that day. Revelation 21, 3 and 4 says that God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. All the garbage that we've put up with our whole life, it's all going to be passed away. And from that moment on, we get to enter into His beauty and perfection, His glory, His power, His majesty, and join with all the saints that have gone before us. We'll be in perfect peace in the arms of our Father. Then we'll truly know Him. Of course, now we are still here on this earth. We're still in the here and now, still in this world. And we can't help having cares and concerns in this world. That's only natural. I mean, we have cares about our children, our parents, our work, our health, our finances, doing God's will, and all kinds of other things. Those concerns are real. Jesus had concerns. Paul was always talking about his concern for the church. So we all will have cares and concerns, but those cares and concerns should not be harassing us and wearing us down and chasing us as though they were about to devour us. Remember what Jesus said, "All of you who are heavy laden, come to me." We don't have to bear the load ourselves. We do our best, and then we trust God with the rest. If it's all up to us, we'll never be at peace. If we try to handle it ourselves, we will never, ever have peace. Our peace comes to the extent that we trust in God. This is where we have to get before God and find out what are we supposed to be doing. We need to get direction from Him, comfort from Him. And the peace will also come. This is the difference between us and the world. We have, or we should have, a peace, the peace of God, to comfort us, to soothe our hearts and our minds. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You see, God wants to guard your heart. He doesn't want it to be filled with anxiety. He wants to guard your mind. He sets up a sentry at the gate, like a guard, to guard, to stop, to prevent those thoughts, those worries, those doubts, those fears from coming in. God's peace will stand as a guard to stop the attack, to prevent those disturbing thoughts. You might be thinking, "I've just got way too much going on in my life. I'll never be able to walk in God's peace. How can anyone really experience the peace of God? Can anyone really experience the peace of God?" Yes, you can. We are spiritual beings. I say it all the time. We are not a body that just happens to have a spirit inside. We are spirit. covered with a temporary body. As a spirit, we were made in the image and likeness of God. And so we can feel many things as God feels. We can think much like God thinks, at least as much as our mind is renewed, as we've been transformed and renewing our mind. We can love like God loves because God first loved us and shows us how to love. And we can also be at peace as God is at peace in those areas, at least in those areas that we've given over to God. When we give over something to God, we can be at peace. When we trust His perfection, His ability, His knowledge, His will, His perfect plan, we can be at peace. Of course, we're never going to be perfect like God. Of course not. But can we limit God? Can we limit God in some way and say that God cannot put His peace on us? Well, I could never be at peace. In other words, we're saying, God, You don't have the ability to give me peace. Would you tell that to God? God, You can't give me peace. I would never say that. If God wants to put me at peace, God can put me at peace. And if I refuse to let Him put me at peace, He can really put me at peace. You see, we might not think we can do it. And you know what? We can't. It's God who does it. It's His peace. He takes His peace and sets it there. He gives it to us. He sets it as a sentry, as a guard, to guard our mind and our heart. It's His peace. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. When we have the Spirit of God within us, the peace of God is what comes along with that. So, of course, we can enjoy peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You know, we say that, the Prince of this, the Prince of that. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. If He's our Lord and our Savior, we've got His peace. If we got the Spirit, we got His peace. If God is our Father, we've got His peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, had this to say in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace, His peace, I give to you. He doesn't say work it up. He doesn't say make it. He doesn't say find it. He's saying my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. He doesn't give us that false, temporary, phony peace that just covers over things, that dissolves after a while or falls away. He gives us His peace. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. If I could have the prayer team come forward. God is offering His peace to you. The more you know Him, the more His peace will be a constant companion to you. I just got a couple scriptures I wanted to read. I had all these different scriptures. I barely touched on them. But these three in particular, I really just wanted to share with you. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. You know, I forgot. You guys want to just sit right there in the first pew? I've got something. We've got something we're going to do. Go ahead and sit down for a minute. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. You know, being thankful helps us be at peace too. When we're not thankful, then we're always wanting. And the more we're wanting, the less we're at peace. The more thankful we are, the more at peace we'll be. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace, Himself, give you peace at all times and in every way. Cool, huh? And one last scripture. It's the closing scripture. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God, through knowing God, as we've been talking about. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Alex and I are going to do a little song for you. And it's called A Living Prayer. And that we become the living prayer of God. And there's a particular part in there. Alex may have a little something to say too, but I wanted to say this, that in those trials of life, I find another voice inside my mind. He comforts me and bids me live inside the love the Father gives. He's talking about peace.
I'm like, women normally don't admit their age. I'm like 47 right now, and Carol asked me when I was in my 20s to sing this song years ago when I was a single mom.
In your 20s?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I was a youngin. And someone asked me, why didn't you ever sing it? I said, I never got around to it. But I'm not really good at these specials. I feel uncomfortable. But I feel like I'm more ready to sing it now. Because I've seen the faithfulness of God. Because He's always been my provider. And I remember one time when I was at night, I would sometimes get these, I don't know if I want to call them panic attacks, but Freddie was younger, and I would just hear these, like, voices, or not hear voices, but I just get so afraid that, oh, is he going to be okay? Am I going to do a good job? You know, and I'm not a man, and he doesn't have a good father, and his... And I would just get, I would literally get sweaty hands and just panic about my son and his salvation and his life and his future. And one day I opened the Bible and I read, it just opened right to this. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. And if you do this, you will experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. And this peace will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And I read it out loud, and I'm not kidding you, those devils that were tormenting me that night had to leave because that was the truth. What they were telling me was a lie. And so as I sing this song, I'm singing it with more confidence, more surety, more faith than I could have in my 20s, because I've seen the faithfulness of my Father, that the only way I could have gotten bread on the table was because of His provision and because of His love. So I hope you just enjoy it.
But there's one Amen. So let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we do thank you, Lord God. And the prayer team is there. You're ready. The guys can come back up. And Father, we just thank you for this service today. I thank you for each person that is here, Lord God. And pray your blessing and, in fact, the blessing of peace today upon your people, Lord God. Father, for all who hear this message, Lord, that your peace would be poured out, that an anointing, a blessing, an outpouring of your peace, this peace that passes all understanding, would guard our hearts and our minds, Lord God. We receive this gift from you, Lord Jesus. You said you give your peace to us. We receive it from your hand, Lord God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.